Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God, who calls us to fish for people. Amen. About 5 years ago, my parents bought a small cabin up on Lake Cabacona, about 15 miles northwest of Walker and about 30 miles east of the headwaters of the Mississippi River at Lake Itasca. It's a lovely place to be, with a winding dirt road and a gorgeous lake view. 34 steep steps take you from the cabin down to the lake, where you instantly meet a long dock that extends 30 feet into the lake. Cabacona happens to be the second clearest lake in Minnesota, according to someone. And with depths of up to 130 feet, it's also a great lake to fish for walleye. A year or two after my family owned the cabin, we secured a sea vessel, an Alumacraft canoe. It wasn't the most practical fishing boat, but it didn't matter. My husband Kurt and my dad were eager to catch and eat some local walleye. Well, Kurt brought everyone out in that boat to go fishing. His father-in-law, sister-in-law, his parents, his sister and brother-in-law, his friends. He tried to bring me, but I'm not patient enough to sit in a canoe that's not going anywhere. Hours and hours sitting in that canoe without catching one single fish. He switched up his bait, talked with local fishermen and women, tried fishing in the morning and at twilight, but nothing seemed to work. Kurt was getting discouraged. Until one day, early in the morning, he was out in the canoe with one of our friends, and they caught a walleye. It was small, but within regulations to keep. They cleaned it, filleted it up, and cooked it, and once all that was complete, it was such a small amount. I remember we compared it to the amount of food in a small can of cat food. Then we feasted, six of us eating this tiny fish, and it was delicious. Now, Jesus' disciples have a bit of the same problem. They have been fishing and fishing all night long with no success. And then Jesus speaks to them a word of hope. Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. I always find this a bit amusing. Like, Jesus, do you think they haven't tried this before? But the disciples do as he says, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, they catch so many fish that their nets are beginning to break, so many fish that they need two boats to collect them, so many fish that those boats begin to sink. Abundance upon abundance, and certainly enough fish to feed those crowds. Now, let's be clear about something. The disciples didn't do anything new here. They didn't try out a new net or fishing technique. They went to the deep water, where I'm sure they'd let down their nets hundreds of times. They did the same thing they've always done. But what changed is that Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke to them, and they listened to his voice and trusted in his word. They had faith that this word would do what it says, and it did. And through their encouragement and persistence, Jesus' word brought abundance and life for the disciples and for the greater community. This story ends with this radical invitation to discipleship. Jesus says to Simon and his fishing friends, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And as soon as they get to shore, they leave everything to follow Jesus. They might not know what this means to catch people, but they hear the voice of Jesus and trust that it will do what it says. So on they go, walking side by side to the next fishing adventure, an adventure that lasts a lifetime, an adventure that draws them into relationship with people they least expect, an adventure that continues to teach them of God's profound love for the poor and the oppressed. Jesus speaks the same word to us today. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. And it's a word of promise. For just as Jesus showed up in the lives of those disciples beside the Sea of Galilee, so does God show up in our lives too. That's the beautiful thing about it all, that God promises to be present in the everyday ordinariness of our lives. We don't have to seek God out because God is already there, waiting to be discovered and loved in the face of our neighbors, our family, and our friends. Because to catch people means to see the face of God in everyone, not just the people who think like us or dress like us or vote like us, but the people who challenge us to think differently, the people whom we forget or overlook, the people who work 3 jobs to keep food on the table, the people closest to us who sometimes are the hardest to love. To see the face of God and the people around us postures us to be ready for the inbreaking of God's radical love of transformation. To catch people means to embody Jesus' own mission of proclaiming good news to the poor, releasing the captives, and freeing the oppressed. For the same spirit that filled Jesus in the temple when he read from Isaiah's scroll is upon us, too. To listen to this voice requires that we leave something behind in order to move beyond ourselves and be open to the Spirit's nudging in new directions. Sometimes Jesus' good news is first bad news for the privileged and powerful, but ultimately God's good news is good news for all, and our faith helps us to move forward even in the face of fear and uncertainty. To catch people means to honor the fullness and multicolored diversity of God's creation, to be in relationship with people of all backgrounds and abilities, to protect all human dignity, and to make God's dream a reality, a beloved community where there are no insiders and outsiders, where each and every person is loved and known just as they are, with a voice and a place at the table. To catch people is no easy task, and it often means holding many things in tension, but it's the life that God calls us to. So remember Jesus' words, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Trust these words because they are true, and where there is truth, there is abundant life. You have everything you need, dear people of God. So let's get in the boat, whether it's an aluminum canoe or a decked-out fishing vessel, and go fishing. Thanks be to God. Amen.